The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls. Let's talk about your stuff today. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. What's on your mind relative to your health? Have you had some problems? You've tried, you've applied, you've come up with the same old, you know, not anything that really works well. Let's see if we can make a difference for you. That's why we're here. That's why we do the program every Sunday live, so we can give you as much information as we possibly can and get you on a different course, you know, with something that might actually make a difference instead of take these, you know, two aspirin and call me in the morning type of syndrome. You know, listen, I want to talk to you about several things today, and it's important that we finish the loop on some injury patterns that we've talked about over the last several weeks, actually off and on throughout the summer. And it's called injury to the brain, trauma, and so forth. And, you know, we're at that place where, you know, I guess because it's that time of the year, you know, kids are back in school and they're playing lacrosse and football and they're, you know, they're playing basketball. The elite leagues have already started and we're getting beat up. But as adults as well, we're getting beat up. And sometimes we don't realize how subtle brain injuries occur. Do you know the lack of doing anything can cause a brain injury? The lack of your body's coordination on a day-to-day basis. You sit down and the only thing that you touch is the remote. You know, you sit there and you go into your iPads. You're not doing anything. The rest of your body is stale. It's not working coordinately. So it's not just the lumps and the bumps and the bruises and the banging of the heads, but it's the things that we do, the things that we don't do. The things that we, you know, we set aside because we don't have to anymore. You don't have to get up. You don't have to do anything. You know, we put everything around us so we don't even have to get up to go to the refrigerator. How many of you get out and create something in your home? You know, how many of you get out and, you know, look at your garden and say, okay, I got to do this. You know, with that goes a lot of mental acuity. It also has a lot of functional cooperation of other nervous system pieces within your body. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the things that you don't do that also cause brain to break down and things that you can do to avoid that. We're going to get a little bit more into the facts about concussion and brain injury and so forth specifically. But I also want you to know that the aging process that we all kind of say, well, what do you expect for your age? You know, when we lose memory, and it's not just a matter of getting older. It's a matter of accepting the idea that age, with age comes certain malady, and the malady is loss of short-term memory, loss of long-term memory, the incapacity neuromuscularly, things that we want to do, we just don't do anymore because it takes a little bit more effort because we haven't been doing them, and we set it aside. We get into different routines instead of compartmentalizing and segmenting different things so we can do all of it, we put it aside. Does aging cause the body to have to work a little harder? Yes, it does, because there is a cycle. But see, we start, that's called birth, we live, that's called life, and then we end our years, that's called death. And along that long paradigm called life, if we continue doing the things that we should be doing, you know, eating well, prayer or meditation on a regular basis. I don't mean occasionally on Sunday. I mean daily. If we strengthen our bodies and we work out and we do strength something or other, then our bodies respond in accordance. And that means that it continues to facilitate because it's going to, it needs to know that we're going to be using it even at a higher level as time goes on. I read an interesting article today. A guy who's 110 years old. Can you imagine? 110. Just rode and rides on an ongoing basis at least 15 to 16 miles on his bicycle every day in an hour. It takes him an hour to do it. So this is not a gentle pace. At 101 years old, he had a tremendous, what we call, vital oxygen capacity. And he started training again for these races that were for seniors. And at 110, his vital oxygen capacity was better than it was at 101 years old. 30% better. How do you do that? And this guy's, you know, competitive. He's on his bike. He's riding. He rides in bike club. And we're saying, oh my God, you know, what do I expect from my age? Well, I can tell you what this guy expects from his age. A whole lot more than most of us do. So what are you doing? You're sitting there doing what? Take a look around you and, you know, put your hands on your butt and your waistline and, you know, shake that fat underneath your arms and ask yourself the question, are you doing anything about it? And this goes to younger people as well. There are people that walk into our practice who are in their 30s and who are in their 40s who look like they're much, much, much older. And they're out of shape. They don't do anything with their lives. They're sedentary. They, you know, the biggest thing that they do is take an Uber. You know, they go to the street corner and they text on their phone and the Uber shows up and they get in the Uber and they go down the street 2, 3, 4 blocks instead of walking it. How many of us, you know, think that as time goes on that we need to slow down? What do you expect for your age? Be careful. You're going to hurt yourself. Don't do that. You might have a heart attack. You can't do that. Let me do that for you. How many of us do that and we actually perpetuate and facilitate that thought process? It's not okay. It is not all right. You know, we put up with, we take aspirin on a regular basis because we want to what? We want to get rid of the pain. We want to make sure that we don't have a stroke, except we increase the risk of strokes by doing those things. But we continue the debilitation process. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about brain. We're talking about the symptoms that are associated with, you know, unfortunate concussions and injuries and blows and traumas and things of that nature. There are many symptoms that come about and nobody ever got hurt. They look like head injury. They look like you've been beat up, but it's not there. But we can have these assaults, you know, these shaking assaults. How do we get shaken? Well, you know, sometimes we just bump into things, but we don't hit our head. How did that come? And then we bleed. We have these bleeding episodes. They're called hemorrhages, small ones, minute ones around the brain. And sometimes that's just from a little bump. We have swelling. We have edema. You eat things that you shouldn't be eating and your brain swells. You're exposed to vaccines and your brain swells. You go to the dentist and you have an old fashioned mercury amalgam taken out. And if it's not taken out the right way, the gas, the mercuric oxide, gets into your brain and injures the brain, and pretty soon you look like you have a brain injury. So it goes on, and we have headaches and lightheadedness, and we get the spinning sensation and sometimes nausea. Sometimes we get a little confused. You know, we got to kind of get ourselves together and, you know, get a hold of it a little bit. You know, we have this ringing in the ears, and then it gets worse sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we get serious disorientation. Eye movements aren't what they should. We find that we can't look as far to one side as we used to and say, what's that all about? Or, you know, our moods change and somebody says, you know, what's your problem? And we know that there's a change, but we don't know where it came from. So we're talking about injuries that affect the brain, and the injuries do not have to be as traumatic as we think they are. So we're going to talk a little bit about training your body today for, facilitation of brain function. We're going to talk about some of the things that you should be eating to make sure that your brain's okay. And what happens if, and those are the important things. Did you know that your blood pressure can spike if you have a problem with your head, neck, or brain? You know, blood pressure can go up significantly. This refers to a localized injury within the brain, within the skull itself. And these traumatic brain injuries, and they can be very minor. It doesn't have to take a lot. It could be a 5-pound blow. And remember, we've talked about these 22 bones that make up your skull, and they move as you breathe in and out. Well, when these skull bones lock, what happens is it puts pressure on the spinal fluid. And when there's pressure within the spinal fluid, it can cause all kinds of things, but high blood pressure is one of the things that begin to shift. So a traumatic brain injury and high blood pressure go hand in hand. You can go in and check these things out, and you're going to find that, you know, so much of what we call idiopathic, unknown injuries, idiopathic, you know, an idiot, right? No, idiopathic injuries are things that come about because we're not aware. We don't look at the body in a system. We try to compartmentalize. Oh, you have high blood pressure, we'll take this. And so when we go through a whole range of problems that are sitting there, we don't know where they come from. Sometimes we have to look to the brain. and the brain-body connection. And then we have to look to, was there a trauma? Was there an injury of any kind? And sometimes the injuries are subtle because we say, you know, that wasn't a big deal. I just bumped my shoulder. Well, in bumping that shoulder, you ended up with a whiplash type of injury to the head and neck. And then you have pressure on the covering of the brain, the dura. There's a patient of ours that had a very significant car accident where she didn't hit anything, but when this guy ran the block, so to speak, the light turned red, and she started out thinking she was clear, and this guy just blew across the block, and she hit his front quarter panel and spun her car. Again, her head was not injured, but the twisting of her body caused the sheath around the brain and the spinal cord to pull heavily down on the brain. And so what's happening is she was getting these spikes of blood pressure going from very, very light to about 116 over 68, and suddenly spikes up to 185, 190 over 100. That's not okay. The brain does that, but only when there is injury or serious irritation, you know, in that area. So when you see things occurring that you don't know why, there's always a why. There's always a reason. There's a guy by the name of Joshua Gaither. He's a medical physician, associate professor of emergency medicine at the University of Arizona, and he's very interested in what happens with these blood pressure spikes from unknown, for really an unknown reason. There's no trauma, but he sees them as a result of some injury that took place. And he says it's unique in both the spiking of the blood pressure and the inability of the blood pressure to come down no matter what they do for it. And he said that the only data that they see, the only paradigm that seems to be similar, is that there was some sort of injury that took place. And so think about it. Think about all the little injuries that you've had over a period of time that really have never been dealt with properly. Think about the physiological changes that happen after that. And by the way, not only high blood pressure, but it can go the other way and go to low blood pressure, and you can't get that blood pressure back up. So we see all of these symptoms that nobody knows where they came from. But if they do the history properly, any injuries, any falls, you know, even when I take the time and I ask the patient, have you ever been hit? Have you ever taken a blow to your head? The patient says, no, not really. There's nothing major. And then that's when I stop and I ask them, well, tell me about the nothing major. What happened? Well, I wasn't really hurt. I had a sore neck for a couple of days and then it went away and I seemed to be okay. But then on examination, you find that their range of motion, their functional capacity to move their head from side to side has been dramatically limited. And then they talk about, oh yeah, my dentist told me I have a TMJ problem. Well, do you grind? No, it just, I can't open my mouth. So now all of these things start stacking one to the other. By the way, you wear glasses. Yeah, I wear glasses. When did you start wearing glasses? And then you see the glasses came about generally anywhere from immediately after the accident or a year and a half afterwards. Small repetitive insults to the body, particularly to the brain-body paradigm, can continue to cause things that we're so totally unaware of. We're going to get into a lot of that today. I want you to have a really good understanding. We're going to open the lines. I want to talk to you about anything that's happened to you at 888-630-9625. I know it's Labor Day weekend and you're out having fun, but this is about you. These are important pieces of your brain-body connection, and you need to really understand it. We're going to talk about how to train your brain in the last half of the program, so stay tuned. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio. It's Labor Day weekend. Hope you're having some fun and enjoying the good day that's out there. It's really pretty. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Give me a call. Love to talk to you on anything that you got on your mind relative to your health. Let's see if we can put a different viewpoint on it. I think that you'll find that there's things that you're missing, you know, that you haven't done properly. How would you like to get off of medications, you know, probably permanently? Wouldn't that be a great thing? Well, my thought process has always been, as long as the body is breathing and you're replacing cells, that you can change virtually anything, at least make it a whole lot better than what it is right now. Sometimes you can't totally reverse everything. I'm reading an interesting book, and it's a book on genetic editing. We'll just leave it at that. And we're it's about how it starts out talking about how the gene map changes completely, even though that you have these genetic pass-throughs, these familial traits that go from one generation to the next. But all of a sudden, in one generation, they disappear. They're gone, completely gone. And autoimmune conditions that are considered irreversible suddenly disappear. How's that possible? Well, the body is this intimately interconnected, completely wired organism, and it starts with the brain and the rest of the system. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about brain-body function. We talked a little bit about how the brain swells with any kind of injury. It doesn't have to be a direct blow to the skull. It could be just pressure that's constant. You know, here's an injury pattern that many of you maybe not thought about. How many wear a hat? You know, particularly guys, right? You wear these baseball caps, and sometimes the band is too tight. And if that band is too tight, your skull bones, 22 of them, can't move the way they're supposed to move. And subsequently, you end up with these crazy symptoms, and where do they come from? The symptoms can be simple headaches. They can be lightheadedness. They can feel like your head's spinning. You know, sometimes you just can get confused, and you can't figure out why. Now, we're just talking, not talking about baseball head, but anything that causes an injury to the head. Changes in mood, you know, for no reason whatsoever. But all you had was a little accident, and you swear nothing happened that was major. You didn't hurt yourself. You didn't come away with any pain or discomfort. But there was this subtle swelling that occurred affecting different portions of your brain. If it affects the lower portion of your brain, the vestibular area of your brain, then the automatic portions, your breathing mechanisms, your digestive function, all of those things can, heartbeat, all those things can be altered. And either very minimally or progressively over a period of time to where they have very significant consequences. There's no bruising. There's no outward indication that anything happened. All your tests come back and they're normal, constantly normal. Why is that? Why do we have these problems? It's important. We're going to get into how you change these things, how you make a difference. How do you know that something happened? And what's your consequences? But I'm going to teach you some exercises, too, that you need to do as we get into the second part of the program. But for right now, let's go to the phones. Charles, can I help you, sir?
Yes. A couple of weeks you had a show on. I didn't have a chance to get through, but on blood sugar. And I was wondering, how can you lower the A1C without using medication? Can you do it with food?
Oh, absolutely. Food and exercise is the primary way of doing it. Say, A1C is a measure of 3 months. It's an average of 3 months. Your glucose test that you go in and take on a day-to-day basis, or you take it tomorrow or the end of this week, measures what you are at that moment. It doesn't measure what you've been. But when that's why you run an A1C and the regular glucose to see what the patterns are. So you look at all kinds of pieces. But, yes, if you get out and do nothing more, let me ask you a straight-up question. What's your A1C?
Last time was either, I remember, 5.7 or 5.8.
Okay, so that's really very, very at a very low level. You're just into the pre-diabetic state. So you're going to look at other things as well. All you got to do is go out and walk every day. Get out and walk 2 miles on a day-to-day basis. I don't care how fast you do it, how slow you do it. Doesn't matter. Walk 2 miles and start watching the amount of carbohydrates that you put in your body, the fast-acting carbs, you know, the sugars and so forth. Get it down. Start, look at the things that you should be eating. Start eating, you know, a lot more proteins, tons of vegetables. You should have 8 servings of vegetables a day. A serving is a half of a cup. And, you know, get away from the fruit juices. If you're going to have fruit, have berries. And, you know, if Sue was here, she'd give you a whole plethora of different types of things to get done. But an A1C at 5.7, 5.8 is easy to drop. It's not hard at all, just doing those two things. Now, if it was much higher, you had other problems, there's other things that you can do. But start with that, and within less than 30 days, if you do those every day, just the things that I've told you right now, you're going to see a huge, huge shift in your A1C. I hope that helps you, Charles.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. 888-630-9625. So remember that A1C is a 3-month average of your blood sugar levels. It's not something that happened today. It's something that's been going on for 3 months. That's why it's so important that when you do a blood sugar level, you do an A1C as well. Once you get up over that 6 mark, you get into 6.2, 6.1, you're diabetic. So you know, anything above 5.6 is not okay. But you hit that 6.2 mark, you got a problem. We're coming up to the midpoint of the program, and, you know, I want to answer all your questions today. So 888-630-9625. When we come back, we have some very important information for you, so make sure you pay attention because it's critical. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Got anything on your mind that you've been playing with relative to your health? Here's your opportunity. Let's see if we can figure out what to do about it, to at least give you a different look, a different idea, a different perspective on the issue. We're talking about the continuation of a subject that I've touched upon throughout the summer, and that's brain injury and the things that can come as a result of it. You know, you have these traumatic injuries, and we talked a little bit in the first part of the program that you don't have to have a bump and a heavy blow to the head. You can simply have a recoil type of injury. What I mean by that is that your body is flung or twisted in an accident or a fall, and subsequently you put pressure on the brain. Why and how? Because of this covering that goes over the brain. It's called the dura. It's like a hard piece of saran wrap. And it, because of that push, that pull, that impact, that, you know, it doesn't have to hit you, it pulls and puts pressure on the brain. And we talked about a patient who has a very high blood pressure spike because of that, and it comes out of nowhere, and they can't treat it simply because of the fact that if they lower the blood pressure when the blood pressure is not high, and it generally runs very low except through these episodes, then they could cause the problem to even worsen and put the patient in significant jeopardy. So when you're dealing with brain injury, you have to look at the little things that have occurred, the twists and the falls, playing football, wrestling, playing, you know, turning very quickly on a court, going up. So we have to learn the idiosyncrasies of all these things so we can make them better over time. You know, when our last caller talked a little bit about diabetes and wanted to know what could be done about a diabetic problem, I told him that his A1C was very easy to fix because it wasn't that high, that what he needed to do was walk and, you know, shift his carbohydrates, but walk every day and walk 2 miles every day. It doesn't have to be fast. Just go out and walk. And that activity will increase the ability of blood sugar stabilization and makes a huge difference. But, you know, in brain injury, there's another type of diabetes. It's called diabetes insipidus that can come about as well. And you don't measure it like you measure regular diabetic conditions, whether it's a what we used to call juvenile diabetes, which is something that you seem to be born with, or adult onset, which is type 2 diabetes now, and we know that happens to anybody. But this happens because of injury many times or trauma to the brain, and it's a condition that's caused by the loss of a hormone effect on the body, and this hormone effect is called ADH, or antidiuretic hormone. And it has a significant effect on the kidneys and water retention, and subsequently we lose water, we lose potassium, we lose a lot of other important minerals, and the result can be quite significant. And it can come about from things like tumors, I mean, unfortunately, injury, profound injury, or whipping type of accidents, and vascular diseases that take place. And there's that thing that we talked about earlier, this idiopathic pattern that may or may not be identifiable. But my experience has been all idiopathic conditions. We don't know why type of conditions. There's always a why someplace. There's always a reason for it. 888-630-9625. Let's go to the phones. Benny, how can I help you?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Great, my friend. What's up?
Great loss of memory. Moving mountain swings big time. Let me give you a little history. I'm a self-employed construction worker, and I had a 2x4 kick back off of a table saw and hit me just under my nose.
Okay.
Toward the right of side, and it broke my jaw. And my primary care seems to think it may have possibly hit my pituitary gland, made the bone going back from your nose to your pituitary gland, possibly ruptured it. But
what's the symptoms, Benny? What's going on?
It's just headaches once in a while. This happened 3 years ago. Reoccurring migraines, very, very extreme loss of memory, testosterone levels dropped dramatically. I'm 51.
Yep.
And my testosterone level was like 195.
All right. So let me tie that all in. Yeah, 195, those guys who are 90 years old have better testosterone than you do, and that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't happen to you. So
right.
The kind of injury that you took, you know, if it hits you just below that area, think about this movement of this skull that makes, you know, the casing for your brain.
Yep.
You have 22 interconnected plates. And as you breathe in and out, these plates move and they pump spinal fluid. And when you have that type of impact injury, you know, to the head, to the face and so forth,
yes,
the spinal fluid is not going to move the way it's supposed to. That all by itself is going to build pressure up and are going to give you headaches. Migraine is type of headaches. A true migraine is a vascular headache, but it can come about from a lot of things. Now, does a migraine, when you get it, does it affect the entire head or one side of the head, the eye?
Most of the time it feels like, I mean, to be blunt, it feels like somebody's just pushing a pistol up my nose.
Okay. So what you
the back of my head also.
Okay. So what you're getting is you're getting a loss of motion. The migraine itself generally is going to be, one-sided compared to the other, but
okay,
you're getting compression, headache, pressure, headache, which is telling you that, you know, and if I had to predict, your blood pressure is going to go up. Not only are you going to get, you know, headaches and you're going to get dizziness, you're going to end up with problems with, you know, even vertigo where you're going to feel like you're going to pass out.
Yes.
Those things are going to build up and they're going to get progressively worse. So what has to be done is that you have to see somebody who understands the mechanics of the head, neck, and how it affects the rest of the body, because what you're getting is automatic patterns now because of the effect of the pituitary gland, the hypothalamus gland. The pituitary is going to affect your gonads. The pituitary puts out hormones called LH, FSH, and so forth. Luteinizing hormone in the male stimulates the testicles to produce testosterone. And if that area is not working the way it's supposed to, then you're not going to get that feedback link and your testosterone is going to drop like a rock, just as you indicated that it's going to. That can be fixed. You're down in Richmond, is that right?
Correct. My primary care is giving me testosterone shots.
Yeah, you're too young for that.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah, you need to stimulate your own production, and
okay,
your body can do it. You just have to be treated properly. You have to deal with somebody who understands manual therapy that can evaluate this and deal with it. Send me a note to RoselleCare.com. Go into the website, RoselleCare.com, and then go down to where they tell you that you'll find my name on it, and send me a note. Remind me of the conversation and say, you know, who can handle this in my area, and I'll send you the name of several people that are around you. I know there's people further east of you in the Norfolk area that are really excellent. You may have to go that far, but in this situation, it's probably more than worth it. Let me do some homework. But this, you don't have to live with this. You're too young to deal with it, and it can be reversed. You've gotten your head smashed. So let's get that done.
Yeah.
Send me a note, and let's get you on the road to better health.
Well, one other issue is, and I know you want to get to another cause, but I'm going to workman's compensation. Their protocol is to go one step at a time, and they kind of, my doctor wants me to see a psych.
No.
They went out, of course, the workman's compensation is not going to pay for it. For what reason, I don't know. But
you're going to have emotional impact because of this thing,
yeah,
but a psychologist is not going to help you with it. You really need to go to somebody who understands functional medicine protocols.
Sure.
And get this done. And trust me, this, you know, what you're dealing with, you're going to run around the loop for years and not get anywhere. This is worth doing whatever you have to do to write the check and get this done, because you'd be surprised how quickly this can be turned back on. Now, Benny, send me a note and I will send you the contacts. I'll send you who I would go to. There's a couple people out there that I just told you about that really understand this mechanism and can help you a lot. I really, really encourage you to reach out. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. This is exactly what I was just talking about with the type of injury that can occur. Not only do you end up having the dizziness, the syncopes, the blood pressure related issues, but you can lose all kinds of things, even digestive function problems. Hormone levels will drop like a rock. If it occurs to a woman, she stops ovulating or she stops having her menstrual cycle completely. These are traumatic patterns, and we don't have to have like happened to Benny, we don't have to have a blow directly to the head to make it happen. We can just have this twisting, turning type of situation, and it's not okay. He needs to do, you know, has to learn how to breathe again and expanding and moving the spinal fluid. He has to be able to get into a quiet place to to handle. There's a lot of herbal preparations and flower essences. But with trauma, with embedded injury, there's injury emotional patterns that are embedded and locked into the soma, the body, that now continue to make things more progressive and worse. Remember, we've always talked about structural, chemical, emotional pathway problems. Those are the only three things that cause anything. And you have to look at all of them and how they're interrelated and what's going on. Now, if his injury was induced and then subsequently there was a pre-existing lousy diet, if there was a pre-existing emotional piece that was underlying it all, it becomes worse. It becomes much more serious than it was before because now you have a trigger that's going to make things even more significant. The body is an amazing piece of machinery. It's not just a compartmentalized, my shoulder hurts or I have a headache or, my fingers are tingling. We have to make sure that, we look at everything interconnectedly. More than, a decade ago, there was a patient that I recall that, came into the office and had hit her head basically on a piece of frozen concrete. And she was doing something outside and something had happened. This goes back a whole lot of years ago. And today, her problem is still this residual, but far better than what it was. So what happened, when I talked to her and so forth, and she had no idea, she said, just happened, bang, she got hit in the head with this piece of concrete. It wasn't a big piece of concrete, but she actually walked into it. And I'm relaying the way she laid this thing out for me, and she said that she was almost knocked out and didn't really have any orientation for like 2 to 3 minutes. And she realized because of the wobbliness, she got sick to her stomach immediately. Her eyes weren't able to focus, that there was something wrong. There's something that wasn't just right. The proverbial, I'm seeing stars type of thing. Well, this was it. She ended up going to the ER and, they hooked her up to everything that they could possibly hook her up to. And, all of a sudden she saw that she couldn't see the computer screen next to her bed in the ER. And she knew that she had a problem. And so they started really working on things, but they couldn't find anything. So this twinkle, twinkle little star thing went away in a few days. But the other effects began to linger. Her memory pattern, as you imagine, was affected. She had problems with concentration. Dizziness was abrupt. She got in these mood swings where she was biting everybody. And this was a woman who was very, very mild manner in, her normal persona, but now she's biting at everybody. And, what was the problem? So here she is. By the time I saw her, she was in her early 50s. She had seen, I can't tell you how many countless doctors over a period of time. And she had, been told this. She was on medications and so forth. And what I found with her is that these cranial plates were locked. And it was affecting virtually all of her automatic patterns. That vestibular area, that lower portion of the brain, wasn't firing the way it's supposed to. Hormones were off. She went into early menopause. And, so what do we do? Well, when we identified that problem, we began to work with the cranial plates. And this pattern that she was, the cognitive patterns, the behavioral upsets, digestive issues, the hormonal disruption with her menopausal pattern kicking right in, all these things began to turn themselves around with very specific attention to what had taken place. She hit the front of her head, but she jammed her head back and caused that lower portion of her head, the vestibular area of the brain, to be compromised. And all we did was manual manipulation, craniosacral patterns with the skull bones, and over a period of several months, she got her life back. But these are the things, she was lucky because she came to somebody who could fix it. If she had gone traditionally and continued the rat race of trying to find somebody, with this medication and that medication and so forth, nothing would have helped, and she would have gotten progressively worse. There are over 3 million people in the United States that are treated in emergency rooms for traumatic brain injury. How about the ones that don't end up in the emergency rooms, that things just happen? They just hit their heads, and they never have it checked out. you know, or they put pressure and it never, you know, never goes away. What happens to those people? You know, there's over 140 people that die every day due to traumatic brain injuries. And sometimes they're not detected. They can't be related to that. It's important that we understand the damage that this does. You know, we talk about football players, and the average is like 28 to 30% of former NFL players are expected to develop long-term brain injury problems, from Alzheimer's to dementia to Parkinson's and so forth. That's why they're going crazy. My son predicts that, you know, in the next 15 years, football won't exist anymore, because people are the cost factor that the NFL is going to have to pay off is going to be significant. I don't know that's true, but, you know, that's just conversation. But, you know, when you're looking at 50% of the people who suffered from depression disorders were initially a result of a traumatic injury of some sort, think about that. If we look at these subtle and not so subtle injuries and we put them all together and we really look at all things, so brain-body mechanisms, which we focus on all the time when we're dealing with patients, to do something less than that is criminal. We're coming up to a break. We have some very important information that I'm going to share with you when we come back. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio. What a beautiful Labor Day to get out and have some fun with. Today and tomorrow, it's going to be very, very lovely. So make sure you enjoy everything that you're doing. Go find some friends, some family, and, you know, last part of the summer, as they say. And then after that, we all get, like, super busy. It's a maniacal thing, but we've got to take the time to relax. Listen, I promised you a couple things, and the first thing before we go on is you have to train your body and your brain, and you have to train the body to train your brain. If you don't do that, your brain just kind of is what it is, and it's going to burn out at some point. So you got to do something. You have to incorporate exercise. And there's a very specific form of exercise that seems to affect the entire motor patterns and improve communication between the muscles and joint in the body. And it's called PNF for short, or proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation, PNF. And you can look that up, and there's a ton of exercises that are related to that. It's a functional way to increase coordination and improve your balance and your stability, which, by the way, then stimulates the brain to coordinate other patterns within the body. So proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation is very important. It gets to the core, if you will. And it once the core muscles start firing, the body begins to work at a much, much higher level. I wish we had about a program and a half to go over this stuff, but the workout is very, very easy for virtually anybody to do. You can increase strength for as you go through it. But PNF in a full body neuromuscular strategy is fun, and it's not stressful, but you got to get somebody to do it with you to give you little pieces. Now, you can make it difficult if you want to. There's a website. It's if you go to, it's capital E, capital L, mag, mag.com/videos. So you can look at it online. And there's another one. It's called capital E, capital L, mag.com/trainbodybrain. That is also worth watching. So I'll give you those two again. Capital E, capital L, mag, mag.com/videos. And then the other one is capital E, capital L, mag.com/trainbodybrain. Check those out. And I think that you'll find that they're well worth doing. They're not that difficult to do. Don't try to kill yourself with them. Go slow. That's the whole thing. And go as easy as you possibly can. Now, we got some changes coming up in the fall, and simply because the Redskins are going to periodically preempt us on Sunday. And go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com, RozelleCare.com, and you'll see the schedule. It's going to happen between next Sunday and the end of December. It's going to happen 7 times. And when the program is not on Sunday, it will be on Saturdays at 4 p.m., so next Saturday, Dr. Tom Rozelle Live will be on Saturday at 4 p.m. So check the schedule. They're all laid out for you, RozelleCare.com, and we have it all there. We tell you the Sunday that's going to be preempted, and we'll tell you what day the program's on. It's always going to be Saturday at 4 o'clock, and hopefully you know, you'll listen to us in the cars and your headsets and at home and so forth. And we're always going to be live for you. So the program will be, you know, as it always is, we're just going to shift. There's going to be some advertising that will remind you that, you know, the shift is taking place. It's the best that we can do. Unfortunately, Redskins are back on WMAL. And because of that, we're getting kind of segued into the day before, but it's all good and we'll make it happen. It's not going to be a major deal. And, you know, we're always there for you. And as always, send us a note. If you need to talk to one of the doctors at the Rizal Center for Healing, call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And tell them that you'd like to talk to one of the staff members. Otherwise, send us an email at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. I apologize to those of you that I didn't take, and I know you're sitting there holding, but we'll do it the next time, or you can send me a note. Coming up to the end of the program, wish it was so much longer because there's so many different things I'd like to share with you. But we'll be here next Saturday, 4 o'clock. Be there. Love you all. Bye.